This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Tuesday night, getting closer and closer to championship weekend. Chiefs and Bengals, 49ers and Rams. That gentleman right there, he played in multiple NFC championship games. I did not. But I also, I got nothing. I got no comeback about that. You just did, I didn't. So here we go. You should just do all the talking.
Well, I like the intro, at least half of it. It's a great Tuesday. I mean, a lot of college basketball out there. Puckstradamus.
Yeah, what do we got?
Some things going. So.
Actually, before we get into anything, we'll tell you about our bets. There were a couple tweets out there that helped out or might have been negative. We'll see. But I just want to point something out, that my hometown NBA team, the Washington Wizards, what a wonderful name. Great color scheme, gee whiz and all there. They were up 66-31 against the Los Angeles Clippers tonight at home. So let's just say you went into the evening, Sean, and you said, you know, I want a little action on NBA. I don't know if I want to lay the five with the Wizards against the Clippers. I'll lay $2, which I would not advised to do. But let's just say, hypothetically, you laid $2. Or maybe you had a part of a money line parlay. I don't know.
Okay.
With the Lakers, maybe, for instance. And they came home and they won. They beat Brooklyn tonight. You're up 66-31, John. Then you're up 66-35 at half. Yeah, you're okay. You're okay. The Wizards got outscored tonight 80-49 in the second half and lost 116-115. Just saw this tweet. The biggest blown lead in NBA history was 36 points. The Wizards blew a 35-point lead tonight. So, you know what? Your night could be worse unless you bet on the Wizards.
Yeah, it's why I don't really do a lot of pre-All-Star game NBA betting. You know, I just tend to...
Oh, my goodness.
There's a lot of inconsistency in the performances, let's just say, of the professional athletes in the National Basketball Association.
So, woo, man.
I see more 20-point spreads that end up the team that was down winning by double digits. Like, it's unbelievable.
Woo, man. All right. We're off and running, and let's get to it. Let's get to Puckstradamus.
Puckstradamus.
What do we got tonight?
We need the New York Islanders to get one more goal. They're up 4-3. I think it's about three and a half minutes left in that game. Hopefully, we'll get an empty netter. I have the puck line there. And then I have the Jets to upset the Panthers. They're actually down 4-3 in the third. So hopefully we can get both of those games over. It'd be great if I could actually watch them. But in the meantime, Puckstradamus has some things in the works, and hopefully we can come through on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I ended up, last night, didn't think I would end up with a lot and ended up with a bunch.
It's a large college basketball slate tonight.
It's usually the way the evening goes.
Yeah.
I was on with Stormy earlier today on My Guys in the Desert.
Mm-hmm.
Gave out Missouri first half, +6, and I said, you're going to have to hold your nose on this one.
How'd it go? They're down two, right?
Missouri,
they're up.
Missouri and Auburn were tied at halftime, okay. So we went ahead and cashed that. Also, full game +13. They're down one. Very good situational spot. We know Missouri stinks.
Hope Auburn loses.
We talked to – well, at this point, I hope they don't. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. I already have the 30-1 ticket.
I kind of want Auburn to go through a little,
lull.
Downward stretch
here.
They maybe lose two of their next three so I can get better odds on them to win it all.
I'm good. I'm never getting better than 30-1. So I'm just gonna sit back.
They lose
back.
3-4 games in a row. You never know.
No,
thing will jump back up.
Nah, never. We will not get to 30-1. Or if it gets to 30-1, I'm not gonna want to touch it because it will mean they have fallen.
It's gotta get
on
hot
hard
come
times.
Tournament time.
But I just like the situational spot coming off of an emotional win over Kentucky over the weekend. This upcoming weekend's the Big 12 SEC showdown.
Mm-hmm.
They play Oklahoma. So I thought this is a tricky spot on the road at Columbia. Missouri stinks, but, you know, I was going to say they beat Alabama, but Georgia just beat Alabama tonight. So I don't know. A couple other games. Michigan State came back, covered the second half, so that was nice.
Really
was
nice.
Able to grab that one. And then got a pour one out for our guy Jim Root. Last night on the show, said he's going to roll with the Saints. I followed because Jim's a smart guy. 17 disappeared. Last night when we were on the show, it was 16.5. We took the 16.5, and they lost by 17. And they had a dunk layup attempt with 10 seconds to go get blocked. So, unfortunate situation there. And then I've got a couple Mountain West games that are not off to great starts. I've got New Mexico catching 5 at home against Fresno State. And I also took the points with Wyoming at Boise State. So not great starts there. We'll see.
We do have a big NBA game tonight. The Dallas Mavericks are in Golden State.
Yeah, just started.
You know, a lot of the sharps that I know where NBA is their specialty, mm-hmm. they felt really good about Dallas. So you guys that like the in-game bet, you probably get some value on Dallas here in this game. Also, we got a big college game in the Pac-12. Arizona is at UCLA. I did not bet the game. I just wanted to watch it without being emotionally attached from a ticket standpoint. But I am a person that owns an Arizona futures ticket to potentially win it all. So hopefully they put on a good performance tonight.
Yeah, fans way back at Pauley Pavilion. You know, Arizona has been playing extremely well as of late. I haven't decided if I'm going to play this one, you know, the keep Tim entertained to type of play. I might roll with the home dog here.
What's the number currently?
2.5. It's a little juiced towards Arizona, so trending towards 3. So we'll see if this thing balloons up a little bit. You look at what Arizona has done in Pac-12 play. They have obliterated everyone in their path. You know, back in December, they put Oregon State to open the Pac-12 play. Sean, they mm-hmm. win that game by 25. The new year, they play Washington. They beat them by 16, beat Colorado by 21, beat Utah by 18, beat Stanford by 28, beat Cal by 25. They've been thumping everyone.
Mm-hmm.
However, everyone I mentioned right there stinks.
Right.
There's not really anyone good that they've played in the Pac-12. They've been tested at a conference. They lost a game against Tennessee on the road. They came back. They beat a team in Illinois on the road here in Las Vegas, a game that I was in the flesh to watch and very impressed. Mm-hmm. They smashed Michigan. So part of me wants to take the points just to see what Arizona's all about. UCLA, for them, it's kind of been an up-and-down situation. Last Thursday night, they lost at home to Oregon, but Oregon's gotten hot. They're playing tonight. And since then, they've responded, beat Oregon State, came back to beat Utah on the road, and then beat Colorado over the weekend. So they're coming off a road trip back home. You know, we mentioned that those last two home games they played against Oregon and Oregon State were without fans. Pauley Pavilion will have fans tonight. So that is a good thing, and certainly something that Mick Cronin has to be happy about. So we will see. Debating, it would be dog or pass here for me. I know Jim liked, I think he leaned towards Arizona.
No,
he actually liked the over.
Yeah, he liked Arizona minus, it was 2.5 at the time. You say it's sitting at 2 now?
No, 2.5.
2.5, and he liked over 152.
Yeah, it's come down. So right now the total at circa 149.5. You look at KenPom's projection, he has it at 152. So he has a 77-75.
So then that's right on.
Arizona victory. So the number has come down just a little bit. Yeah, fascinated to see this game. It should be a good one. UCLA taking on Arizona. We had some prop plays out there. Johnny Juzang, his over-under at 19.5. He's coming into tonight averaging around 19 points per game, looking at his chart right now. So he's had a really strong year over the weekend, 23-28. You look at his last four games for Juzang, 23-24, 28-23. So he's really had a strong performances as of late for UCLA, and we'll see. It's gonna be a fun game.
Yeah, I'm not as high on UCLA. I don't think they look like the same multi-threat team that made the Final Four last year. Still got some recognizable names, and there's still time in the season. You know, the one thing I've learned during the college basketball season, as teams can improve as the season goes along.
Mm-hmm.
Some teams can stagnate and not get better. So I think it's important this time of year to keep your eye on teams that, you know, maybe started slow to getting better. You know, very interested in watching Michigan over the next couple of games. Had a lot of high expectations
Huge.
Early. Kind of didn't get off to a fast start, but they had a big win at Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was yesterday. And be interested the next couple
Sunday,
of games.
Yeah.
You know, do they start kind of trending back towards what people thought they were going to be?
Yeah, they're back at it tomorrow. They play Northwestern. So
yeah, that won't let me know anything.
Yeah. They will be a favorite at home. But then on Saturday, they play Michigan State on the road in East Lansing. Michigan State falling short against Illinois. No Andrew Curbelo, no Kofi Coburn. Illinois got out to a huge lead, led 34-20 at the break. Ultimately, Illinois holds on for dear life. Michigan got fouled with 0.3 seconds left. They missed the first free throw and then tried to intentionally miss the next, Sean, and they made it. So they lose. Michigan State does 56-55. That was an important free throw to some because this line, Sean, was, you know, last night when we talked about this game, it was around 5.5 or so in favor of Illinois. Then the news comes out, Coburn and Curbelo are out, and it plummets down to 2, some spots 1, but Illinois comes out with a very big victory for the Illini. All right, we are up and running. We got a lot going on. And, oh, yeah, we got some football games to break down as well. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. Come on back right here, the Nightcap on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in. This segment of the Nightcap being brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, a fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vape. No more smelling like an ashtray, no more spit cups, and no batteries to charge or leaky equipment to deal with. Zyn nicotine pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties like spearmint, wintergreen, citrus, and many more. For your convenience, each variety comes in 2 strengths, so you can easily find the satisfaction level that's perfect for you. Zyn, America's number one nicotine pouch, is available in over 100,000 locations nationwide, meaning it's never been easier to find your Zyn. So head on over to Zyn.com/find to locate a store near you. That's ZYN.com/find. Warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Alongside Sean King, I am Tim Murray. Could we be watching the number one team in the country go down as a 13-point underdog? Oof, could build houses with those bricks.
Yeah.
My goodness.
I can't see it happening. I mean,
I
know Jim Rood is somewhere under the table peeking at the game. It's not going to matter.
I don't care.
So, Jim, go ahead and get up and get in a comfortable seat.
Good teams win, great teams cover. Just keep this under.
The cover's still possible.
Oh, I know. I've been holding on here. Auburn leading Missouri right now, 46-45 with 4:44 to go in the second half. Missouri plus 650 on the money line. I just want to go back to something. During the break, I watched the ending of the epic collapse of the Wizards against the Clippers in our nation's capital tonight.
You're Google mapping yourself.
Luke Kennard put up a 3, Sean.
That's a Duke product, by the way.
1.9 seconds to go. Not only did he make the 3, he got fouled. And David Behrman over at ESPN pointed out that at Caesars Sports, the money line on the Clippers was as high as 50-1 tonight. Down 35. And they came back and won. 116-115, thanks to a 4-point play with 1.9 seconds to go.
Only fitting.
Wizards gonna wizard. I mean, that's what they do.
Did you like that? I said you're kind of Google mapping yourself.
Well,
because no one really cares what happens in the Bullets games. You know, the rest of the world hadn't even figured out they're the Wizards now. We still call them the Washington Bullets. They're so irrelevant, like on a national scene.
That is a very fair statement. And I used to get mad. Aaron, in addition to producing this show and working at VSiN, he also dabbles in a podcast that is a DC podcast, and a good friend of mine, former colleague, hosts it. And I love listening to it, but anytime he talks about the Wizards, I just turn it off. And I text him, like, stop talking about the Wizards. No one cares about the Wizards.
Yeah, that's always a struggle when you're doing, like,
because he's very passionate.
Local sports coverage.
He's very passionate about this irrelevant, terrible basketball team. He loves basketball, but anytime he talks about that particular team, right, I turn it off.
Like, I don't really know if they have anything that's relevant right now. Because Washington's only relevant if it's something like that's got, like, Universal's going to write a movie about it, you know, at some point. Like, the downfall of the Washington football team under Daniel Snyder.
We got the new team name coming out in a week. Get excited.
No one really cares.
No.
Yeah.
I keep getting asked about it because I'm, you know, from D.C.
Right.
I go, what do you want the name to be? I go, I want it to be the Washington Win Football Games. You haven't won, as a franchise, 11 games in a season since 1992.
Yeah. It's a bad time for sports in the D.C. area.
Won two championships in the past 4 years.
In what?
Baseball and hockey.
The Nationals?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, did we?
You went pre-COVID?
I'm sorry. Did the World start post-COVID?
Yeah.
How many,
new world.
How many World Series have the Rays won?
We have NFTs now. We didn't have that last time Nationals won World Series.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
And then we haven't.
People still didn't know what Bitcoin was, like, the average person.
You didn't answer my question. So this is how many my favorite baseball team has won World Championships, and yours has won how many?
I think we were in the World Series the year
after. I'm sorry. Did you win that World Series?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Did you have a parade for finishing second?
No, but my hockey team has won two in a row and has a very good chance of winning three. And before we get to SoFi for the Super Bowl.
Nice spin there.
Yes, yes. My professional football team is the defending Super Bowl champs. So.
They will not be two-time.
Yeah.
They won't be back-to-back Super Bowl champs. All I care about, I don't care about the football team. I'm happy about the baseball team there in town. Got a little rebuild going on there, so we will see. All right, enough of that nonsense. Let's get to some thoughts on the NFC Championship game. And
I'm feeling better about what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I really am. I'm feeling better.
Which way are you thinking?
I think I'm taking both underdogs.
I'm thinking, I like Cincinnati. I keep talking myself into this. It's another situation, Sean, where, you know, we'll have Chris Andrews on Thursday. Maybe we'll have another odds maker on later in the week too. And there's no doubt in my mind that the world is pounding Kansas City, right? It's, how could the Cincinnati Bengals, how can they keep up with that Kansas City Chiefs team? It was a fluke that they lost in week 17 in Cincinnati. They're unstoppable. I mean, how many times do we have to do this? And let's be frank, if Kansas City comes out and wins by 28 points, would you be shocked?
Yes, I would.
I wouldn't be.
I would.
But I think
they played
catching a
three
touch
weeks ago.
Yeah, and the Bengals won.
Yeah, Burrow went 30 of 39 for 448 and four touchdowns. Now, here's why I'm on the Bengals. Their greatest deficiency is their ability to pass protect. But the one thing the Chiefs don't do well is rush the quarterback. Add in that they have a below average secondary, and now you see why I feel like Cincinnati matches up. Now, I don't think Cincinnati's going to have a lot of success in stopping Patrick Mahomes, but I do think Joe Burrow and that offense can score enough points to keep it within a touchdown. And right now, I think the number's sitting at 7.5, depending on where you're looking at.
I don't see any 7.5s out there, unfortunately.
Well, I guess my little thing is wrong. I got Yahoo Sports here.
I would love, if I could get a 7.5.
7.5.
I would play it at 7.5 right now. And I think we might get there. DraftKings is a juice 7 towards Kansas City. And you look across the board, I see one offshore shop has gone to 7.5. I would take 7.5 with Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think I'm going to play Cincinnati.
And I think
I'm a money line. I'm not going to money line. I'm going to take the points.
Yeah, and my guess right now, Sean, would be if you like Cincinnati, I think you wait. It's just going to be a plethora of cash coming in on Kansas City, and the handle's going to be really big. You're going to – the problem is, my hunch is, as soon as it gets to 7.5, sharps are going to take it just like that. So you're going to have to be quick.
I think it's going to end up at 7.
And that's probably where it lands. It's been at 7 all week. It hasn't moved.
Like, I'm going to take the approach. I'm going to get it right now, watch it 7. And then if it goes up, I can get it again.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But I don't want to risk it going to 6.5 or 6.
Yeah, that is my slight worry. Here at Circa, interestingly enough, it's actually juiced to Cincinnati. It's -115. So you have to pay a premium to bet Cincinnati for the 7. Westgate, South Point, other spots
like
that.
I'm going to South Point.
So they're.
I'll be honest with you. The one thing I do love about Chris Andrews and that book is they're -110, -110.
No doubt. All the time. Spread. 11 to 10. Yeah. And once you get to the Super Bowl, it'll be -105. That's always a promotion they run over there.
Yeah. I respect that.
So as for the Rams 49ers game, I keep going back and forth on this one because sitting there at 3.5, it opened 4, got bet down pretty quickly. We touched 3. Now it's back up to 3.5 in most spots. Convince me on the 49ers. I know they've beaten them 6 straight times. They beat them in week 18. They were down 17-0. I know, and they came back and won. It was really impressive. Feels like the 49ers are coming along. Jimmy Garoppolo has not played well. Now, he played well. Now, that's not true. He played incredibly well to beat the Rams in overtime in week 18. That was impressive down the stretch. Did throw a terrible pick.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do anything to help them beat the Green Bay Packers. I guess not anything. He at the end of the game, he was able to throw a couple passes there. But convince me on the 49ers.
They're playing the Rams.
They do own the Rams.
Like, Kyle Shanahan has Sean McVay's number.
He does.
And the Rams don't generally win by margin against good teams. They've yet to play a complete four-quarter game, in my opinion, outside of the Arizona game in which Arizona just completely self-destructed from start to finish. And I think that's where my comfort comes in with getting the 3 in the hook, especially because I don't think the Rams are good at front-running. I just don't. And if they win, I think it'll be a walk-off field goal type of a situation. So, you know, in that scenario, I'm good.
There's no doubt in that spot.
So something happened from a player prop standpoint, though, and we need to look that up. Did Jimmy Garoppolo's passing yards for that game drop like by 20, 25 yards or something crazy?
For the 49ers game?
Yeah.
We will check that out, but we'll get more on the Rams. More on the Lakers, who got a win tonight in Brooklyn. Arash Markazi will join us on the other side. It is the Nightcap on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you missed any part of our show or anything on the VSiN schedule today, don't forget to check out our free sports betting podcast. Catch replays of all our shows or download and listen or schedule. Go to VSiN.com/podcast. Get Beating the Book with Gil Alexander, Market Insights with Josh Applebaum. We've got Hardwood Handicappers, The Lombardi Line, Follow the Money, My Guys in the Desert, Coast to Coast Hoops, and many more. They're all free and available now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. They're reviewing the final possession, and no, they have now ruled it is over. Indeed. Auburn holds on to beat Missouri 55-54.
Never in doubt.
Never in doubt on the cover in that one. Now we just need New Mexico to come on back, baby. I bet against Rick Pitino. I'm betting on Richard Pitino. I have a feeling that I'm going to lose both bets, but New Mexico only down 6 at home. Come on, New Mexico. We can do this, Lobos. Let's get it done. All right. Let's head to New York City. Arash Markazi, who covers all things Los Angeles and hosts a show on 1090 The Mightier in San Diego. You can also catch that show in Las Vegas as well, the Arash Markazi Show. But he's in Las Vegas or in New York right now following some of the L.A. teams around. And he was in attendance tonight at the Barclays Center to watch the Lakers defeat the Nets 106-96 in the return of Anthony Davis. Arash, always a pleasure, man. What was your feelings and thoughts, and how did Anthony Davis sound after the performance tonight?
He looked good. You know, I mean, I knew that, you know, he wasn't going to pick up where he left off, but you could just sense the confidence in the team having him back. I mean, they've only played about 16 games with this entire team together. I mean, quite frankly, they haven't looked good when they've been healthy, but, you know, the thought is, you know, if they're all healthy for this stretch run, if they can get into that play-in tournament. But, you know, to be honest, guys, I mean, they're only four games back at the number five seed. So it's not like, you know, the West is actually not that great. I mean, it's top-heavy, but after the top four teams, you know, there's this feeling amongst these guys, and I don't know whether they're not being realistic, but they're thinking like, okay, as soon as we're healthy and we start playing together, if we can get into the playoffs as the number five seed and we're in that four or five matchup, we might have a chance. Quite frankly, I've seen them enough. I don't think that that's going to happen, but they got the confidence at least.
You know, Ross, it's interesting because I hear so many people and say, okay, this will never work. And then you have the people that support the Lakers that, you know, kind of use the fact that they haven't been healthy, you know, as the crutch that they are leaning on currently. So my question for you is, you follow the team, you're an expert on all of the players that are currently under contract. In your mind, if you could take egos and amount of compensation out of it, give me your best Lakers starting five.
Well, it's amazing because, you know, Stanley Johnson wasn't on the team, signed him to a couple of 10-day contracts. I like the lineup that they had tonight. You know, I just want this team to play hard. I want them to play with some defensive intensity. Listen, so you have to start Russell Westbrook, AD, LeBron. Stanley Johnson's the guy that I want in there, and I think Avery Bradley's the guy that I want in there. And just to have that defensive intensity, I do like Carmelo to come off the bench. You know, so the pieces are in place for this team to potentially, again, they're going to be in the playoffs, but, you know, I don't see how these pieces fit together. And it's unfortunate because I think everyone in Los Angeles was so excited at the beginning of the year. But I think the worst nightmares have come to fruition in terms of how is Russell Westbrook going to fit in with this team? And everyone said, let Russ be Russ. Well, Russ being Russ doesn't fit into what the Lakers are trying to do. He plays 100 miles per hour. He's a fantastic player to watch. He's not going to adjust his game, and that's been the most frustrating thing because he's shown glimpses of being a player that can help this team win. There's just nothing they can do. And, Sean, you brought up the contract. I mean, they can't move him. Right. I know there's been talk of that John Wall deal. I've been told that that's not going to happen. So they're, you know, for lack of a better word, stuck with him.
You know, it's interesting because everyone mentions Avery Bradley. And, you know, of course, I don't really, you know, follow everything about NBA till after the All-Star game. That's kind of like I have to set my schedule up like that because we're so football-centric. But, I mean, when I watch the Lakers play, Avery Bradley looks slow. He looks old. He doesn't jump that high. Yeah. He doesn't consistently knock down the open shot. Like, I don't see him, like, playing lockdown defense. Like, you put him in your starting five. Like, you're closer than I am. What is it about him that you like? And others like it as well. I've heard people mention him.
Well, here's the problem, Sean. There's such a bad defensive team that I kind of want to lean on guys who are actually going to try. And I know that's such a low bar. But I like a guy like Avery Bradley because he didn't know if he was going to be in the league. I mean, Stanley Johnson wasn't on this team. He wasn't in the league. Because of the health and safety protocols, he got signed to a 10-day contract. And my goodness, he plays hard. And it's ridiculous to say that. But, guys, I mean, just I've never seen a team this bad just in terms of they are a 500 team carry themselves like a championship team. And I guess it should make sense. You know, you've got LeBron James, you got Anthony Davis, you got Russell Westbrook, you got a lot of big names. But you would have thought that this is one of the greatest teams of all time, the way that they carry themselves. And we are 50 games into the season. We are well past the midway point, and they are a 500 team. So, listen, I grew up a Lakers fan. I grew up on the Showtime Lakers. Like, I would love for this team to win. I think it would be fantastic for the city of Los Angeles. We never got a parade in 2020. It's not happening with these guys. It is not happening with this team.
You know, Rosh, one thing we like to do is we like to get into the futures market, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
When it comes to, you know, teams maybe off the radar that you know, are blossoming, you know, teams like Memphis, you know, just to name an example. Based on what you've seen, give me a couple teams that you think could really make some noise, whether it be Western Conference or Eastern, come playoff time.
Well, you know what, no one's really, I mean, I don't know, no one's talking about the Suns, but, like, I know there was a lot of talk about the Warriors. I mean, I liked the Suns a year ago. I was on them pretty early, but obviously they got help by some of the teams that got hurt in the postseason. I like the Suns. I don't like the Grizzlies to win the championship, but when you got Ja Morant, I mean, he's going to have a couple of amazing performances. Wouldn't be shocked if that team, you know, it gets past the first round. You know, again, Golden State, everyone knows how good they are. I'm not high on the Jazz. Again, the Jazz to me are a great regular season team. They'll be a top four seed. I don't think they'll be doing too much. But I think the Suns, you know, I mean, I know these are not hot, sexy picks, but I really think the West is very top heavy. They got four good teams, and then there's a massive drop off.
We're talking to Arash Markazi. Check out his show on 1090 in San Diego. Also catch it for those of you in Las Vegas as well. Arash, we got about 3 minutes. Let's pivot to the other team in Los Angeles, not the Clippers. Well, let's talk the Rams. They got the NFC Championship game this weekend. They're a 3.5-point favorite. That number's kind of bounced around a little bit as of right now, sitting at 3.5. The storyline is Sean McVay can't figure it out against Kyle Shanahan, right? He's lost 6 in a row. Week 18, they're up 17-0. He's, you know, high-fiving, chest-bumping in the end zone, and they blow that lead. So, Arash, what does Los Angeles need to do as a home favorite on Sunday evening to go to the Super Bowl once again?
You know, really just kind of like do what they did in the first half of that game and not make the same mistakes in the second half. I know that is simplistic, but I mean, listen, they are a dominant football team, and I had them going up against Tampa Bay. I just like the pressure that they put on the quarterback. I mean, if they put Jimmy Garoppolo down, make some big plays in the first half, I don't foresee them blowing a lead like they did. And I know that sounds crazy because, my goodness, they almost blew a 27-3 lead against Tampa Bay. But they got to figure out. I have every confidence in the world that they're going to start strong. They got to close out. And it's amazing that we're even saying that, you know, the little half game of the season and then the divisional round. I mean, Sean McVay has always closed off games strong. I mean, that loss to San Francisco was the first time that he blew a halftime lead. So, I like the Rams in this one. I just think it's really hard, and Sean could probably speak to this better than anyone. When you play a team three times, to beat them three straight times, and not only that, San Francisco's won 6 straight times, and now they're coming back to SoFi. The Rams are pissed because it's going to be a very pro-San Francisco crowd again. That's what I keep hearing from people. So I like the Rams, but listen, I think everyone in Los Angeles is very nervous about this game on Sunday.
Hey, Arash, before we let you run, we got about 45 seconds. What is the anticipation in SoFi? We saw it in Week 18. It was a lot of red. Is that the expectation again?
Yeah, that's the expectation. I mean, listen, guys, I mean, this team just moved back 6 years ago. Their fan base has grown. There's more Rams fans here, obviously, than there were 6 years ago. The get-in price, the cheapest ticket, is almost $900. Rams fans, God bless them, they're not paying that. They don't have that connection with the team. It is going to be a pro-San Francisco crowd. But the Rams made all the moves that they made to win it this year. They got the championship game at SoFi, and if they win in 2 weeks, they got the Super Bowl right here at SoFi.
He is Arash Markazi. Check out his show on 1090. The Mightier in San Diego knows all things about L.A. Arash, we appreciate it, man.
All right, thanks so much. Bye.
He is Arash Markazi alongside Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. It is the Nightcap on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's never too early to prepare for the big game. We want to make sure VSiN is part of your plans. We'll be with you throughout the playoffs, and then on championship weekend, we'll have 56 hours of free video coverage on VSiN.com. Leading up to our sixth annual live big game betcast. It's the biggest game of the year, so make your plans now to join VSiN betting experts before, during, and after the action on VSiN.com. I got some sweats going on. Sean, do you have anything left tonight? Or are we done?
No, nothing at all.
By the way, this game is not on on television that I can acquire, so we got some Mountain West sweats going on right now. Wyoming has now taken the lead over Boise State. How this game is not on television, I don't know. It's two of the best teams in the West Coast, Midwest, Mountain West Conference.
Mississippi State trying to get back into it.
Yeah, a little 9-0 run by the Dogs. But I got Wyoming plus 5. It's now 59-58. Pokes have taken the lead on the road at Boise State. And then I got the Lobos at home at the Pit in Albuquerque.
Have you ever been there?
I drove up to it and took some pictures on my drive across the country.
It's a unique little place.
It's the complex. You have the Pit there, and you've got the football stadium,
across
and the baseball stadium.
Yeah, it's right a nice little setup. I was actually surprised when I got to Albuquerque, but I actually went inside.
I know.
And it's kind of like...
Well, it's down, right?
When you walk in, something's different about it. I'm not exactly sure. I don't remember. You don't walk in where you think you would walk in. So, like, when you hear the Pit, like, you think you walk in the door, mm-hmm. and, like, you look down, and it goes straight down. But it's engineered a little different than that.
One thing I would say about this, and I know he's not a member of the New Mexico Athletic Department, but they need to have a statue of Jim Valvano outside of the Pit. I mean, that's one of the most iconic moments in college basketball history, of Jim Valvano jumping around looking to hug someone. It happened at the Pit. You got to have that out there.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Jimmy V's a legend. So, I don't know. That would have been...
Their whole little setup there is pretty sweet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Stopped that. That was my final stop before the journey out here. Stopped.
But then I went downtown to get some fresh guac.
Yeah?
And like...
Satisfied or no?
People were walking goats on leashes, and I was like,
You weren't ready to move to Albuquerque?
Yeah, that probably... not my speed. But the guac was good.
I pulled up, so that was the end of day 3 of my drive, and I got to my hotel in Albuquerque, and every light on my dashboard lit up. And I was like, oh, that's wonderful. Great. Mm. So that was a good finish to the third day. Had to drive around the fine city of Albuquerque to try to find a mechanic on a Sunday afternoon. And I was lucky, fortunately. All right, come on, New Mexico. Get this done. Great. Turnover. Super duper. 59-53. Lobos going to find a way to blow this. Wyoming might get the win, though, so that would be nice. All right. Interesting news coming out. We're going to talk some NBA coming up at the top of the hour with Kurt Heelan. And we might have some breaking news on the coaching front, but before we get to the might, we know, and we kind of speculated about this last night, we know New Orleans now will need a head coach. Sean Payton announced his retirement today, and he won't be coaching in 2022.
So I have people digging into it, I'll probably have an answer for tomorrow's show. I'm sure people will know by then, but exactly what the compensation looks like if he decided to coach next year. Because whoever, if he was to say he wanted to fill one of these vacancies.
They'd have
to give up some kind of compensation.
Yeah, like John Gruden.
Well, John, yeah, they would give up 2 first-rounders. That was a lot.
What would Dallas do right now to get Sean?
Or let me ask you a different question. What does the Rams' success, how does that impact and change what people will be willing to give up? Because basically the Rams, it says, screw the draft.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to do it through free agency.
I would say if Jara can get his hands on Sean Payton, he'll give up multiple first-round picks.
You know, I saw a fascinating comparison. If you put Sean Payton's coaching statistics and Mike McCarthy's next to each other.
That's sometimes where you go, stats don't always tell the truth. And when Sean Payton took over the Saints, they were the Aints, and he's won them a Super Bowl.
Yeah, the coaches definitely inherited different organizations.
Yeah.
Yeah, slightly.
Yeah.
And McCarthy had won multiple championships.
One guy got fired when he had Aaron Rodgers, and the guy who followed him has gone 39-10 in the regular season. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big Mike McCarthy guy. No one is. I don't think anyone out there is like, ooh, I love Mike McCarthy. But this, if you're Sean Payton and you're looking at the situation in New Orleans, you're like, okay, we're $71 million under the cap. We have no quarterback. What are we doing here?
Our best receiver obviously doesn't want to play for us.
Right.
Talking about Mike Thomas. We do have a all-world running back in Alvin Kamara, but that's not enough. Devoid of explosive playmakers on offense outside of that for the most part. Solid defense.
Mm-hmm.
But if Brady comes back in a division that's definitely not the easiest.
No.
You know, with Tampa sitting there. So, I mean, I could see him stepping down just for the reason he's been there so long. Was he not second to Tomlin as the longest tenured current head coach?
He was there since
he's been
what,
there at least about
2006.
15 years.
Yeah, so 15 years.
He's been there a long
coach.
Time. I mean, at some he just got married. You know, he has a big old house I heard in Dallas that he built. You know, so him coaching football is exhausting.
Absolutely,
especially at that level, especially with the caliber of rebuild that New Orleans has to do. Now, I think our producer Aaron Oster sent us some kind of graphic that said the Saints are $71.6 million over the cap, but have maneuverability. By that, you can take some of the money that's taking up space on the cap, convert it into a signing bonus, spread it out. But you're just kicking the can down the road. At some point, you know, you're going to have to pay the piper. So it'd be interesting what Sean Payton does. You know, I would, if I was, you know, going to give a strong opinion, I would say Sean's going to sit out and do television for a year and, you know, see if he likes being away from it. You know, some guys, you know, this is all they've done their whole life. So, like, they know they need a rest, but they're not sure if they're ready to just, you know, not have this be basically who they are. So I could see him taking a year off, doing some television. You know, if he's getting that itch, television isn't fulfilling it, you know, then he comes back and has his choice. You know, and if that's the case, I could see a lot of David Cullens getting hired. Cully getting hired in this cycle.
Well,
who was a Houston Texans coach. He basically was a stopgap to get them through this season. And then they were going to let him go no matter what happened.
And that's the crazy thing about this whole cycle is there are reports now out there, and this makes a ton of sense, that the Jaguars are going to hire Byron Leftwich.
Smart move.
Makes a lot of sense, right? Up and coming offensive coordinator with Tampa Bay. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl last year. Was the face of the Jaguars franchise. That makes a ton of sense.
And I think people knew this was coming too.
But other than that, like, what? It's been the craziest coaching carousel because the college carousel is the exact opposite, right? It's like lickety split. Okay, we didn't get this guy. We got to go to this guy. Brian Kelly left before he knew if his team was going to make the playoff or not.
But I don't think that's a fair comparison because.
Lincoln Riley left.
But there's only 32 NFL organizations, and the pay structure is basically the same for all of them.
True.
Whereas in college, it's kind of the haves and the have-nots. You know, and all these coaches that are moving are generally going to somewhere that can pay them more, that's on a slightly bigger stage.
I really wish I could watch this game right now. New Mexico's down by 3. I have them catching 5. It's 63-60. There was 45 seconds to go. And they fouled.
Yeah, by the way.
Why are we fouling?
Mississippi State is within 2 with 5 minutes and 36 seconds left. But you do know when the game's over that they post the final score.
They do.
Like, if you watch it, like, it just emotionally puts you on a roller coaster. But from a knowledge and information standpoint, they're going to put it up there.
They missed the free throw. Let's go. Come on, New Mexico. Let's go. I have decided this is more of the keep Tim entertained. I'm taking the points with the Bruins. I'm going to take the 3.
The game hasn't started?
No, it starts top of the hour.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Got a foul again. By the time we come back from break, you'll know whether or not I won this bet, we pushed this bet. It's coming down to the wire here with Fresno State in New Mexico. So hopefully New Mexico could take it on. But UCLA and Arizona going to start at the top of the hour. Going to be a tremendous game. I'm going to roll with the dog. I'll take the 3 points with the dog in UCLA, and we'll see how it happens. At Pauley Pavilion, a home dog catching points. Always a thing I like to sign up for. We'll talk more NBA. The Lakers get a win tonight. What does that mean for them moving forward? We'll talk to Kurt Heelan from Pro Basketball Talk at the top of the hour. It is the Nightcap on VSiN.